But it's an objective fact that with Saka, with Saliba, and with Odegaard, I still like to think, with those three players in the squad, we are miles better.
It's treble or bust. If they don't win the goddamn treble, this is embarrassing.
In his prime, he was a joy to watch.
Jack Grealish at Villa was everybody's favorite player.
Yeah.
Because he was a joy to
and
watch.
And there are no haters. No haters.
No haters until he went to City for a record fee, right? Yeah.
We here.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody, to the 6 Yard Box podcast for myself and Blake are a little bit in shambles this week. Both our teams are coming off a not so great week. Liverpool look clear favorites now to win the Premier League title. United just lost to a fourth division side and barely beat the worst team in the league. And we'll touch on that. Do you like the... Okay. Yep.
I just forgot that actually happened, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I swear I woke up the next day and I genuinely had to think back to that experience and actually conceptualize it in my mind because I thought it was a dream.
Okay, I was going to be really nice to you today, but if that...
No, okay, no, I'm sorry. No, I need it. I'm
City
sorry.
Also lost, Spurs also lost, but United is still like the highlight hate watch of your
no,
week.
Liverpool's the hate watch now, so don't worry.
Okay, yeah. Good. We're going over a bunch in La Liga, the Bundesliga, Serie A, including three former United managers getting sacked.
Make it four, Emery.
In the past 7 days. We're going to get to all of that and more, but let's start with Liverpool beating Arsenal 1-0. How are you feeling about this game, Blake? What's 20-ish hours later, what's the reaction?
Like, in hindsight, it's really not the worst result ever. It's not a good result, but third week in, I don't even want to say what I'm about to say because it's the same fucking excuse as last year.
Oh, here we go.
But once again, we're missing, including Odegaard, three of our best 11 players in game week 3. And again, we bought all these players, we spent all this money so that this isn't an issue. So it's not an excuse, but it's an objective fact that with Saka, with Saliba, and with Odegaard, I still like to think, but you can have your own opinions on that. With those three players in the squad, we are miles better.
Of course.
Shout out Miles. Miles better. I'm just disappointed. Like, there's so many narratives about Arsenal not playing the right way and playing very negative, which some of that does have some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think going away to Liverpool in your first month of the season and trying to play a bit less expansive is the worst idea of all time.
No, it's definitely not. On the availability thing, like, my thing is, especially with Saliba and Saka from last year, at what point does it almost become an issue of like availability is the best ability and they start building a reputation of like, okay, how much can we really rely on these guys over a 38 Premier League game season? Because like you could be the best player in the world, but if you're missing, you know, 20% of the season every single year, then you're going to cause your team a lot of issues. That's what's happening.
It's definitely a good point. And you're right. If this continues, because that's kind of what derailed us in our first title charge was Saliba being injured. That's kind of what went us off the rails last year was Saka being injured. So you're right. If these massive injuries keep happening, then there's definitely an issue. And the Saliba injury alone, I have no idea what happened to him.
Yeah, a little coming together like, with Ekitike, and then he just...
Yeah, I have no idea what happened. So super weird, super freaky. Like... We can get into the Liverpool, the actual game. The game itself, there's really nothing to talk about. I think Antoine said it really great in the group chat. Like, they nullified each other. They canceled each other out.
Exactly. I think there's some allegations of some horrible football being played from Arsenal specifically. And, like, whatever.
Yeah, from United pundits. Pussies, bro. It's actually crazy.
But it's not.
How deep we're inside your fucking heads when the United pundits want Liverpool to win at home, at fucking Anfield. They expect us to be prime Barcelona. And, we're trying to defend. Sorry, Gary Neville. All you can do is whine and complain. Sorry, Schmeichel, that you want Liverpool to win so fucking bad more than any other team. Are you weird?
They don't. If you're playing that way against, like, a Villa or somebody, then I would definitely be like, okay, relax. That's some bias there. But the fact that it is against Liverpool makes me think more that, like, okay, that is an objective opinion of theirs. And it's probably not just an Arsenal bias thing as much as you would like to think so. But they do have a point in saying that the way you guys set up and how the game played out, I think, played exactly into Liverpool's hands. When you have a cagey affair like that, especially like at Anfield, it plays into Liverpool's favor because then the question becomes, who can step up with a moment?
Yeah,
and with Dominic Szoboszlai's amazing free kick.
I've seen people shit on Raya for that free kick, by the way. What the like, what are...
No. Like, nobody's away saving from you? That.
Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. It's moments of brilliance like that, yeah, or players that can deliver moments of brilliance like that, that I think they have more of over Arsenal. We've talked
about...
Ballers or whatever. And like, I just think like what it comes down to is moments like this when it's 0-0 with 7 minutes to go,
yeah,
in a game that could end up being massive in the title race, then who is going to come up with a moment? And Liverpool was always the more likely to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that, like, while you can't criticize the approach that much from Arteta going away to Anfield, you guys were playing for the draw at a certain point in the game.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment. I just hate that we can't look at the inverse as well, is that Liverpool played just as bad or just as good or however you want to evaluate it. They weren't playing expansive football either, especially in the first half. Our first half was much better than their first half, and vice versa. They had a much better second half than we did.
Exactly.
So I think the dynamics really did flip on their heads, and that does have a lot to do with Anfield in general, I think. But I think when you look at the way Arteta set up his lineup in general, that's the first thing he got wrong. Because I think you could have went to Anfield and you could have still played a bit more passive, still didn't send everything forward, even with Eze starting. And I think that was the biggest mistake that Arteta made, is he left Eze on the bench. For why, I have no idea. But leaving Eze on the bench was a signal to me that you were too scared to try something new and you were just okay with letting Martinelli, who's been ineffective, who's been so far the most like infuriating player to watch over the last year and a half of Arsenal football, not because he doesn't have talent, not because he isn't a quality footballer, but because he just does not have it anymore. He doesn't have the confidence, he doesn't have the ability, and he doesn't fit in with this squad anymore. He just doesn't. So he didn't start Eze instead of, and then he started Martinelli, and that was the first red flag to me. I would have liked an actual midfielder, like an actual 10 on instead of
Mikel Merino,
and that didn't work. I thought the midfield was fine in general, but both teams were very much evenly matched. So going forward, besides this whole Isak thing, which we'll get into, but going forward, I'm not like that detrimental about this loss, because I don't think it's going to be like last season where they run away with the league and it's 10 points clear. But it's just unfortunate that game three into the season, we have our first title test, we lose, which is something that really doesn't happen. We don't really lose games against the big six. We might tie, we might not win, but losing a game against the big six hasn't happened in the better Arteta era. And the fact that it happened here so early on is concerning. It's 100% concerning. But again, I'm not nervous for the rest of the season per se. I still think it'll be close, but I think expectations with the new signing of Liverpool, like, we need to shift here. And like, it's still trophy or bust, major trophy or bust, but it's like, man, if it's major trophy or bust, like, I don't, for Liverpool, it must be like win everything by a million points or bust, because I don't understand how the fuck you don't with the squad they have.
You want to get into the Isak? Here we go.
Do you have anything else on the game? Like, it was a boring game, but if you have anything else,
I think,
you can.
Yeah. I mean, on the Raya point, like, he wasn't really tested that much outside of the Szoboszlai goal. I think the biggest thing tested here was my attention span. And it didn't hold up very well.
Yeah. And Liverpool defended set pieces very well. They canceled out that part of the game for us.
They did.
And again, Martinelli was god awful. Like, god awful. And Madueke,
why he's still starting for you guys, I don't know.
And Madueke was actually really good. He had a weird
first. I didn't see it as much, but that's fair.
He was just like better than the left side, which was all I wanted.
If you're comparing it to that, then it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, but again, like, no Gyökeres hate here either. Like, he had no service. He did decent to hold up the play when he could. Whatever.
I will not push the agenda. Do not worry.
Yeah, we move.
On the Liverpool side, Wirtz had a very good second half, but pretty rough in the first. Kirk has looked really good. It's kind of like a mature performance from him, which I feel like he needed. Yeah, a lot better. Because it's been, like, rocky.
A lot better, yeah. Same with Konate.
Yeah.
He was a lot better.
Konate was really fucking good in this game. Szoboszlai from right back, dude. Szoboszlai from right back.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, they played very well. Liverpool played very well. And their players had performances that were almost flip-flop from the last couple of weeks, which they definitely needed, especially in the defensive end. The attack was very lame, just like their opponents. But like I said, it's not, we're right there. We're so evenly matched. Like, I think even with their new signing coming in, I don't know why I'm like acting like it's a fucking surprise. Even with Isak coming in, it's going to be hard, but I still think we're neck and neck. I don't think Isak raised the ceiling for them. I think it might have just raised the floor.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the bias out of it there. Wow. Because, really? Well, yesterday, Blake goes on the group chat. It's like, it's treble or bust. It's treble. If they don't win the goddamn treble, this is embarrassing. That's a direct quote, by the way.
Well, no, I think Isak obviously raises their ceiling a little bit, but their ceiling was already pretty high. So you can't raise the ceiling that much more. So I think what Isak does is more just raise their floor than it does actually raise their ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why, looking at this whole Arsenal squad, assuming everyone's fit the next time we play, assuming everyone's fit for the rest of the season, for us, mostly fit, I don't see why we can't capitalize on a Liverpool loss in the next couple of weeks.
No, absolutely not.
Go from there.
I think overall, like, you could bring in all the talent you want, but I think consistency and chemistry is in a league title race, that trumps everything.
Yeah.
That's the biggest advantage that Arsenal have right now. I think the signings you have brought in, I've seen more of an adaptation to the system, and I trust Mikel Arteta's tactical ability over a league season, at least right now, over Slot. I don't know if that take is going to hold
That's
up.
Fair.
But I actually, like, I do see the issues that you were pointing out with Liverpool. Like, they have left it late a lot of these games.
Yeah.
You know, it has been a lot of moments of brilliance. But I think as much as you could say that's a detriment to them, or you kind of say that to take away credit from them, it's almost like you would expect those difficulties in these early stages of the season where all of these new signings are betting themselves in. What happens when Wirtz adapts to the Premier League? What happens when Isak comes in and starts scoring instantly or just adapts to the system, right? What happens if all of this attacking depth that they have actually glued together?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Salah's had a little bit of a poor season, but what happens when he starts turning it up again, you know?
It's treble or bust. Like, fuck me, dude.
What happens when fucking Mark Gahey comes in and you... When Konate or Van Dijk gets an inevitable injury, then
is that still on?
Well, I think that is still on, dude.
Bro, like, they're actually just terrorists, bro. They're terrorists. It's not fair, bro.
So, you know what? This is before the Gahey signing, but including the Isak signing.
Oh, my God. You know what's crazy?
What?
Is fucking Romano Ben Jacobs just posted Mark Gahey is undergoing medical in London for Liverpool. Like, literally 15 seconds ago, bro.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
God, bro. Just end it, bro.
Mark Gahey. Oh.
Just end it, bro. Just actually end it.
You know your net spend this window is still, like, there's, like, only, like, a £30 million difference between you and Liverpool.
Yeah.
You've essentially, like, net spent the same this window.
Net spend is bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
Because we don't sell. We never sell well.
But that's on you. That's not on Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't worry about net spend. I worry about just how much you spent.
Well, net spend matters because that enables... If Liverpool didn't sell Nunez for a lot to Saudi, if they didn't sell Luis Diaz... Alexander Isak would still be a Newcastle player. That's a fact.
Well,
it's not that FSG was, like, really digging into his pockets, but it helped that, one, they're selling a lot of high-value players this window, and two, they barely spent anything last summer, so this enables them to spend so much. You guys' biggest sales ever are Alex Iwobi and Emile Smith Rowe.
Yeah, no.
That's the biggest difference.
I know that's an issue. I know it's an issue. 100%.
Like, you guys, you need to, you should have been more ruthless with a few of your. Like, you should have said, like, Gabriel, Martinelli, not the good Gabriel. Yeah. Martinelli, you've been a great servant to this club. Saudi's offering 50 mil.
You know what?
I'll see you out.
You're right. But,
you know? And then you spend that money on a, you know, a better winger.
But here's the thing. You can say that. What other signings would you have made for Arsenal this season? Hindsight included. Knowing who was available. Obviously, Isak, you would have said sure. But he clearly wanted Liverpool the whole time. So that wasn't an option for us, technically. Rodrigo is staying at Real Madrid.
Yeah, but it's not that was never an option.
Yeah, but he didn't leave. If he went to somewhere else, it'd be more of a slap in the face, but he didn't go anywhere else. He's staying where he was at.
I think it's still clear that if you made a decent offer, then
maybe those conversations. But someone else could have, City could have, it doesn't matter. I think out of everyone we have signed or who was, everyone who did move, we've done the best we could. And I don't think that's crazy to say. So while your net spend point is very valid and it's probably going to come back to bite us in a couple of years when we are very much at the top of that room to go over the PSR or the whatever the rules are. I don't know. So I understand. But we've done really well to sign the players we have signed, but Liverpool have just smashed us out of the water. And like this Isak signing is ridiculous. Mark Gay too is insane as well. And yeah. I guess he's going to play beside Van Dijk now. But
so I think, yeah, like I think the basis of PSR is that like you can't have a £100 million loss over three seasons, right? Yeah,
which I don't think we will.
But what that means too is like the more you sell, the more you can buy plus a little bit more.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think just because we've been so good in the league and we've had Champions League football for three, this is the third season running now, like I think that is definitely helping our case, especially because it hasn't been that way for a while, and we're selling out the Emirates every game and the shirt sales are going great and whatever. But you're right, like it might hinder us from doing another Declan Rice 105-er.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, we can go more on Isak. Like what even is there to say besides like,
I feel bad for Ekitike, man. I feel bad.
I don't, man. I actually hate the side of his face, dude. Like, he makes me so angry.
Ekitike? You hate Ekitike?
Yeah.
Why?
I hate the entire Liverpool team.
Okay.
I hate Ekitike a lot because I was really not expecting him to hit the ground this well. And he looks so good. He looks so synchronized with the Premier League style of play. He looks like he's been there for a while. And he looks menacing up top. Like, he's a good striker.
I agree.
And it's annoying.
I know.
It's frustrating.
Now, and now this 80 million euro signing is going to be a substitute striker.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, I get it, they sold, but like, it's so frustrating. Like,
but because they sold Luis Diaz.
400 million on three players, bro.
Yeah,
you're talking about net spend. 400 million on three players. 400.
Yeah. And that's just great business by them because of how much they've sold and how little they spent last summer. I predicted Liverpool would come sixth last season because their only signings was Mamardashvili, who didn't even come last year, and Federico Chiesa.
That's terrible for him. He's such a good keeper, and he's rotting on the bench.
Was he on the... Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
I know. I think they expected Alisson to be gone at this point.
Yeah.
But he's still fucking really good.
Yeah.
I know it's they're spoiled with riches right now.
Spoiled. And you thought Arsenal was with everything we've done. You thought City has done. Like, respectfully, City having Oscar Bob start meaningful games for them, I'm not here for.
Oscar Bob's a great fucking talent, dude.
A great talent. But like when you look at what the teams in front of him have, like I'd rather obviously Liverpool's wingers. I'd probably rather Chelsea's wingers even, perchance.
Now we'll talk about the new Chelsea winger when we get to
anyway.
It. I mean, like, who did they sell? They sold Luis Diaz for 70 mil to Bayern. They sold Darwin Nunez for 53 mil to Al Hilal. Kwanzaa went for 35 to Leverkusen. Ben Doak to Bournemouth. They sold for 23 million euros. Kelleher went to Bournemouth. Trent obviously to Real Madrid. They got 10 mil for that. Tyler Morton to Lyon. Like, These are all... That is... Hold on. That is 220 million euros of outgoings. That's a lot. That's a lot in outgoings.
We sold...
Who did you sell?
No one.
Nobody.
Honestly. Literally no one.
That's the difference here.
I think Fabio Vieira is going on loan with a 20 million option to buy.
Oh, Reese Nelson you're selling?
No, that's on loan.
Oh, my Jesus.
I think we... No. I think there is someone. On FotMob, the last actual transfer we have that went through was Marquinhos for 3 million to Cruzeiro.
Oh, you sold Nuno Tavares for 5 mil.
Yeah, for 9 million euros. Yep.
So 8 mil you've earned from outgoings. See, that's the difference. And it's not even like Luis Diaz was raring to leave Liverpool. It's not even like he was a nuisance in the dressing room and had to leave, right? It's not even like that was a plan. It's not that Darwin Nunez being sold was really circle on the calendar, we need to get this done right now. No, these things just happened because Liverpool were ruthlessly pragmatic with who they wanted to keep. Mm. They said, we're going to have, if we want to make the moves that we want to do, listen, Luis Diaz, you've been a great servant to this club in your time here, but you got to go. Yeah. Go play for Bayern. Go play for Barca, whoever you want. Darwin Nunez, go back or go to Saudi, sorry.
Yeah.
And you're going to do great there. And they are going to do great there. And, they'll still be good players. It's not like they're selling them while they're bottom of the hill, right?
Yeah.
You guys still have Sambi Lokonga on your books.
So he's also going to...
He's going to Hamburg?
Yeah, with Fabio Vieira.
With Fabio Vieira.
I don't know if that's permanent. I don't know what that is. If we can recoup 40, 50 mil from them, we won't. But
40, 50 mil?
For both of them.
Why?
What do you mean? Fabio Vieira is a good player. He's fine. You tell me Fabio Vieira is worth not 20, 25 mil? That's the buy-on clause for him is 20 mil. That makes sense.
If this was happening in July, maybe. But this is
Fabio Vieira, and then Sambi Lokonga has played minutes around Europe. He's probably worth another 20 mil, I'd say. His market value is...
Loan with an option, 8 mil.
Market value is, it's 8. So
8 mil.
That's good.
Fabio Vieira is 22, to be fair. No, he's definitely miles clear of Sambi Lokonga, but...
You know what is good, though? It's one of these Miles Lewis-Skelly, Ethan Waneri, and... Max Dalman is going to be sold soon. Probably.
Oh, you think?
Eventually. Maybe not soon, but in the next couple of seasons to recoup some of that money. Because you're right, we haven't sold, and it's going to suck, but it's going to have to be another ML Smith Rowe situation, but hopefully we sell him for more than what the hell that was.
But. Shit, man. Does that worry you a little bit? Does that break your heart?
No.
That's good, then.
Because I don't know.
It's ruthlessly pragmatic.
Yeah, because I don't know much about them yet. Right now, if you're telling me who I'd want to sell out of those three, it'd have to be... Anyway, I don't know.
Who would it be, Blake?
I have no idea.
What if,
I have no idea.
Yeah, see, those would break your fucking heart.
That would actually break my heart. I was being way too cool.
You don't have that. Vissa to and Voltimata to Newcastle going the other way. Speaking of these,
yeah. That's
everybody wins at the end of the day.
I mean, do I know anything about this Voltimata guy? Very little.
Not much.
85 million seems like a steep ass price, but. I thought 85 million was a steep ass price for Ekitike.
It's 6'4", 6'5", great with the ball at his feet. Yeah. Scored a bunch for Stuttgart last year out of nowhere.
Sure.
He's 24 ish, sure. I believe.
Well, and I think
big question mark.
That's
though.
The way to go, though, is you signed not only two very contrasting strikers in Vissa and Voltimata, but you signed one who was you're expecting to adapt to the league since he's played there.
Yeah.
As of forever.
Yeah.
And then one that you think will be obviously much better than the one that you bought, but is a different type of striker and has a lot of upside. So that's really good business from Newcastle, I would think.
Yeah. I'm not convinced on the Voldemort signing.
Me either.
But I think Vissa will be good for them.
Yeah.
And I think he'll start right away. You know what? You know what's happened this window? The petulant, stubborn players that we've been blabbering on about this window have gotten exactly what they want.
They really fucking have.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Vissa, Gyökeres.
Sancho. Garnacho.
Garnacho. Isak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, being a whiny little bitch
might help, I guess. Anyways. Shout out Antoine, bro. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. He was just rage baiting me in the group chat. It was annoying.
Speaking of annoying players.
Mm. Oh yeah, we haven't even addressed this. What were we, 20 minutes into the episode? How do you address it?
For audio listeners, Andre Onana's is for sale for anybody listening. You can get him at $5 million. He's 90% off. You can get him for $5 million. Really great keeper.
He's going to like TFC or something.
Yeah, bro. Fucking TFC. Step it up. Yeah. Like, we can trade, you know, Nick Long to United.
Bro. That's like not even a player, dude. I don't even know who you're talking about.
Sean Long? What's our center back's name? His last name is Long.
Kevin Long.
Kevin Long. Kevin Long.
That's so fucking funny, bro. Kevin Long, bro.
Jeez. Andre Onana to TFC. Anybody can take him. Anybody can take him. You know, Saudi if you're watching. Turkey if you're watching. Wrexham if you're watching. You know. Oh, you know who Wrexham just signed? Issa Kabore. Do you remember him?
Oh, my God. From, like, Luton. Watford?
Luton.
Oh.
Remember, he was like a really good FPL option a couple years back?
Maybe, yeah, okay.
He was Leonard's little boy for a little bit there.
Oh, of course. Of
but course. He did not make it. Anyways, let's go to United. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is the writing on the wall for Ruben Amorim?
I hope so. No, I've
been so nice to you.
No, I've been I don't hope so. I like, genuinely, as a person, I feel really bad for him. Like, his whole, not martyr shtick, but his whole... Oh, like, we suck, and, like, I love my team, I hate my team. Like, it gets a little old, but I think he's just not even putting on a front. That's just the way he is, and I feel really bad for him because he's trying his best. And I think the players are kind of – I mean, from what he's telling us, the players are just giving up on him. They're just not trying for him.
The players – it's just not even like they're not trying. It's like they can't dig in time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
you know?
Fair. Yeah.
Like – the owner, the part owner of Grimsby Town went on like a podcast after they beat United.
Mm.
And they were saying like, oh, I was watching the United players as they came off the team bus going into our dressing room. And they just looked out of it. You could tell that they looked like they looked agitated. They looked complacent.
Mm.
They looked uncomfortable. And the worst part about that game is that was a strong team. It's not even, we didn't play the kids. We didn't,
yeah, it was a good
you
team.
Know, we didn't, it was a really good team. Players that, a lot of players that I want to be starting for United week in, week out. They just didn't dig in on time. And then pair that with defensive issues, goalkeeper issues. And it's just the worst mix that you can't really put on Amorim. But at the same time, I do kind of think that the writing is on the wall for Amorim. I don't think he'll get sacked in the next 2 weeks. I don't think he'll be in the next month. But the more I watch, the more time passes, the more faith I lose in him making the system work in the Prem. I don't knock him for trying the system. I want him to keep with the system. I think if he went through a traditional 4-3-3 now and caved to the pressure, that'd be the worst thing he could do.
Yeah.
But the midfield pairing, I don't see working. I don't see Bruno and Casemiro just learning how to play that role one day. I don't see, if you swap Bruno for Mainoo, I don't see the tides turning that much. I think I don't see a Casemiro or Ugarte hitting some crazy form in the next couple of weeks. And I definitely don't see a signing midfielder now, which is disgraceful. So with all of that combined, it doesn't give me any faith in the most important part of our team. And it's a severe failure from the United board, from our recruitment team, from everybody, that we have not brought in a midfield option this window. Things could happen. I think as the time of recording, there's like 8 hours left in the window. Maybe some crazy shock will happen. But all we've heard out of United right now is they're signing Senny Lammens and... there's been zero links to a midfielder right now. Obviously, Baleba isn't happening. That Stiller guy from Stuttgart, I believe, he's not fucking leaving. Who else are we going to sign? Bro, you know how desperate I've been in the last 2 days? I've been hoping for a Conor Gallagher or an Adrian Rabiot signing. You know how yikes. Far I've fallen that I'm hoping for those two to come to United? It's rough times here, man.
Yikes.
The issue is Bruno is a fantastic 10. He's done great things in the Prem, but he doesn't have the positional discipline to play the 8.
Mm.
And Ugarte doesn't and Casemiro doesn't. I mean, a little bit less of the fact of Bruno, but it when one of the eights is everywhere except where they should be, when those transition moments come, there's too much space to cover. And it's the same issue we had under Ten Hag where our midfield, there's just acres of space. I was looking into like the Sporting Tactics. I was like, okay, what's the biggest difference between this team, this system, and why it doesn't work with United? And I saw a little bit of like what Sporting would do in the press, when how they would kind of press teams to go to the wings to play out to the sides, and then they would kind of trap teams there using the eights. But what happens in the Premier League with the players having so much more quality is that teams know that if they can quickly transition from, you know, their right back getting pressured by three players and switch it quickly with like a lofted ball into a midfielder, that midfielder has a free run.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's a 4-on-3. You know what I mean?
Fair.
And that's happened so much. And I listened back to like the Iwobi and the Marco Silva interview from the Fulham game. Mm. And the way that they're able to break down United's tactics so eloquently and how much they know exactly what to do to penetrate this United side, it's worrying.
Because it's one thing to find out what to do, figure out what to do. And there's another thing to execute it properly. And again, people know what Arteta's going to do. People know what how Slot's going to play. People know how these managers are going to play. But if it's able to be figured out and then executed to such a high level, then that's where it becomes a big issue, right? And you guys played well against Burnley, like well enough to win the game. Like I think the performance as a whole wasn't as bad as the scoreline says. I thought you guys were better, especially in the first half. But
yeah,
I mean, it's just like the same kind of issues plaguing you. And I think this new goalkeeper will definitely help. Like at the second goal, I don't know. You can blame it on him. You could not, but I mean,
Bayindir on the second goal.
Yeah,
yeah, you could for sure. You can make an argument that we deserve to win in all three of our Premier League games. You can make an argument because we had a lot of chances against Fulham, especially in the first half. We should have been 2 or 3 nil up at halftime against Burnley, and we played really well against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And we deserve something out that game. So you could really make a case here that like we are better than our points total suggests, but it's just the Grimsby result that like
it's just past so
a cloud, you know? I'm back to how I was last year with United, where the optimism is gone and I'm just numb and I'm waiting for the inevitable, which is Amorim sacked. We bring in, you know, fucking Oliver Glasner, and we're in the same position in 12 months' time. It's tough, man. It's rough out here.
I'll be honest. So that Grimsby result was a crazy hate watch. Like,
I know.
Like, you can imagine. It was generational.
So I went to the pool bar with Serena after that. And worst I've ever played, first of all.
Yeah.
But yeah, just got hammered. And that was when I opened up the group chat for the first time. I was like, oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness.
I couldn't believe what was happening. But anyway.
Yeah. You know. You've been bugging me more on that group chat. You've been...
I told you.
Yeah, so I just don't go on it anymore.
I told you.
I didn't go on it yesterday when Arsenal lost. I didn't rub it in your face. I didn't try to rage bait.
Okay, so...
I didn't send, you know, the fucking emojis, you know, like fucking...
Okay, so maybe that's a semi-truce, we can say. Maybe. Maybe
a chance. Yeah, fucking right.
I'm just saying, you guys never didn't hold back when Arsenal lost against PSG. So it's just, you know, I remember.
Let's talk about Sending Lamens.
Go ahead.
I'm not a fan of the signing.
Here we go.
This is also, I wanted fucking Conor Gallagher, and I wanted Emmy Martinez. I'd rather Emmy.
Oh, the hate.
Because listen, I was listening to Goldbridge this morning, and he put it very perfectly. I don't know who's going to be better in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, between Lamens and Emmy Martinez. But I know exactly who's going to be better against City in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know exactly who will be better for the United squad right now for this season. The thought behind the Emi Martinez signing was you bring him in. It's a good personality to get the squad going. He can rile up opposing attackers. He's proven that before.
Yeah.
And while there are question marks about his actual goalkeeping ability, him compared to this fucking fraud... is like, oh my goodness, worlds apart.
Oh,
this guy is like Yev Lash Lev Yashin compared to Onana. Mm. So maybe, you know, Senny Lamens will be two, but I don't know. And now what happens with Tom Heaton? What happens with Alte Bayinder? What happens with this guy here? I don't know.
You're okay. If you have to think about what happens with Tom Heaton, then you have your own problems.
No, because Tom Heaton was like, we have four goalkeepers now. Why? Yeah. Why?
Well, you
I'm not losing sleep over what happens to Tom Heaton. I'm saying like one of the goalkeepers needs to go.
You need three.
Yeah, of course. Every team has three keepers. Yeah. The third never sees the field.
Yeah.
Right? The second, sometimes in some cup games, the first plays 90% of the games.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know what happens there.
I know. It is sad.
And now we have three keepers. Shit. We have three first team keepers, you could say. Onana and Bayinder was in the rotation before. And now you add this kid here. You just know how the Prem is.
Yeah.
You know? He's going to get a chance in the Prem. He's going to take time to adjust. He's never really going to make mistakes, even though he may be better than the two options we have now.
Yeah.
And then you know how the Prem works.
Yeah.
Fucking Onana sucks, but in all fairness to him, when he signed here for United, the treatment of him in the media was disgusting. And I think that added a lot of the pressure, and it's probably one of the reasons why he has regressed so much. That's in 2 years.
I will
never forget the Daily Mail article of Andre Onana dropped his keys in the United car park. That, I mean, United goalkeeper makes another blunder. He dropped his keys.
I mean, to be fair, were they wrong? But
I think they had a lot to do with, like, okay, because it's a confidence position.
Though, bro, respectfully, then he's playing the wrong sport. Like, come on. I get it. It definitely has something to do with it. But
it's a confidence position.
Then he shouldn't be a goalkeeper. Like, I mean, he probably shouldn't. But if I don't get to see Onana in a United shirt again, I will be so sad. Like, because when I get to watch
he
United...
He shouldn't.
When I get to watch United and Onana's in net, it's like my best form of reality TV. Because even if it doesn't go well for me, I still know that there's probably something stupid he's going to do. Or I can just... There's always that thought in my mind that something hilarious is going to happen.
I haven't even talked about the fucking penalty shootout. Why didn't we sub Onana out before that?
I have no idea. And why didn't Šeško take a penalty before the 10th?
He had a groin injury, apparently.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He took his pen well, though.
And he didn't start this week. He didn't start against Burnley either.
He didn't, no.
Bro, Emery Mount. That is wild. You said he wanted to start.
I said he should have started against Fulham, too. Yeah. But I'm not the manager, am I?
That's crazy, though. That's redonkulous.
Okay, but like in the first half when he wasn't playing, we looked the most dangerous.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. Look, you can keep saying whatever, but you got to play your guy. How is he getting...
I know, but like, Šeško and this team right now, like, I don't want to throw him in the fire like we did with Højlund. That's a mistake that we made.
But... They're throwing in
obviously
fire,
it'll get
like,
to a point.
You need game time. Like, you just need to play.
Obviously, you need game time. It's game three.
It is game three. Arsenal gets to win the league. Okay.
Yeah, and Eze didn't start either. And, like, that's a mistake from us, but I'm not fucking calling for Arteta's head because of
fair,
it.
Fair.
Okay. Let's move to the other side of Manchester, finally.
fuck you, bitches. You guys suck, too.
What was, like, what'd you find the most joy in hating on this week? City, United, or Spurs?
Or Tottenham? I didn't see the Tottenham game. Because that was on the Saturday, right?
Yeah. They got crushed by Bournemouth.
Yeah. So I didn't see the Tottenham game, but that was fun. I'm going to go with City because it was a comeback. You know?
Yeah. And it was like last minute winner as
Yeah. And I do one of my classic screams. Man, I don't want to say I was right about City, but... There's one player named Erling Braut Haaland who has looked very ineffective without his daddy Kevin De Bruyne feeding him the balls.
Ineffective. He's scored in every game so far.
I mean, yeah. But like ineffective.
He's been their best player by far.
This is what I'm saying, though.
What?
Haaland is going to always, he's going to score because he's Haaland. But that doesn't mean they're going to win.
Yes, but then that doesn't mean Haaland's the issue.
I mean,
that doesn't mean you have the right to go like, this is what I told you about Haaland, guys.
He's
still the top scorer in the Prem right now.
I mean, he has three goals.
Three in three games. That's 100% goal record.
I mean, I mean, if you look at it like that, like I suppose, but
he's bad.
My point is being that their way of playing and their way of scoring goals, which was very much through Haaland throughout their entire latter half of the Kevin De Bruyne era, is going to be hard to sustain. It's going to be hard to keep doing without the players that they have, and it's going to be hard to doing that and getting results. And you're shaking your head, and you have a furrowed brow, but they've lost two games.
Furrowed brow, I like that. They had chances in this also, game. I actually think Haaland,
no, and they didn't even score. It's not. I was going to say they didn't score against Tottenham. So two goals in three games, yeah, but or three goals in three games, but they didn't score against Tottenham. So he didn't.
True. Still, three goals in three games is very good.
Like Haaland's going to score. You're right, but like.
I think he should have scored more. He had a lot of chances in this game. They created chances. I think you're suggesting that chance creation and like converting chances is their problem. I don't think that's necessarily the thing. I think their biggest issue still, which is the biggest red flag for City, is what we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, is their defense. Their defending in transition. And you've harped that horn too. Like the biggest problem here, the biggest like sounding the alarm point from this game is that Rodri started, Rodri played, Rodri was covering that defense, and still they had defensive issues. This was the first time in years that Rodri started a game for Man City where they've lost, right?
Gets the bird flying.
That actually does get the bird flying. That gives a lot of credence to the people saying that they're not going to be up there this year. And you know what? I have to hold my hands up because I thought that, you know what? Maybe that was a little bit naive of me to think that, oh, Rodri's going to come back and all of Man City's defensive woes are going to be solved.
Yeah.
But there was clear evidence that that is going to happen because look how good they have been with Rodri in the team. So I don't know how it is. I maybe it's Reinders, like kind of like adjusting to the midfield three. Bernardo Silva isn't really built for it anymore. But you know what? Maybe Rodri will just adjust in a couple of games.
Yeah.
Or the whole City system will adjust in a couple of games. And then they go on a crazy winning streak from February and fucking end up winning the league. Who fucking knows? It's Man City. They've had rough starts of the season before. Yeah. But never like this. They've never had 3 points after three games.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess for the first time in like years, I can ask you, Blake, is Pep under pressure?
No. Because he was under pressure last year too.
Yeah, but like this is like
the pressure last year real was pressure. Crazy. Like you don't remember how bad they were? They went through a stretch where they lost like six in a row?
I think so.
So that was pressure. I don't think he's under pressure yet. I think anything other than a top four, even three finish for them, then we might have to talk. Because he just re-upped his contract for one more season, right?
Yeah.
So then we can really have the conversations. But you look at the back line, like I said this at the beginning of the year. This one I actually deserve a point. But like you're trusting Kucherov, who looked once again a little bit shaky towards the end of the game. He had a really bad tackle. He got set off at the 85th minute. You're trusting Mateus Nunes at right back. You're trusting an aging John Stones, an aging Ruben Diaz.
Mateus Nunes was the biggest problem. He gave away a shit.
But he's always been the problem.
I know. That's something that they should have addressed.
And they haven't replaced. I mean, yeah, they have freaking Nico O'Reilly, I guess. But like he doesn't even play.
Rico Lewis.
Rico Lewis. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And it's fun to watch them from my perspective, but I don't know what they're going to do with their defense. And that's, you're right, the most glaring issue they have. Trafford looked good this game, which is good for him.
Until the winning goal.
You think you can do more on it?
Well, I mean, it's beautiful by Gruda. Trafford was decent in this game. I've heard a little bit that like there's some issues with like his distribution. Obviously, there was the giveaway against Spurs that led to a goal. But like overall, like he's been okay here, but he still needs
which doesn't even matter.
It's two starts for him,
but it doesn't matter. Donnarumma, here we go.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Doesn't even matter.
Oh Jesus, man.
So, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about bad distribution. I mean, Donnarumma is not solving that issue, is he?
Yeah.
So, Man City, Man United at the Etihad, 14th of September, we will be there.
Oh, next week?
So, City's next three, oh my goodness, City's next three games, United at home, Napoli at home, and Arsenal away.
Mm. We have to win that game, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And, what? Because, bro, what Liverpool's, Liverpool's schedule is so easy now, bro.
Yes, but it all evens out.
No, but look, okay, they have Burnley, then Everton, then Crystal Palace.
Yeah, they just had their one of the toughest fixtures of their season, and they passed the test.
Oh, man. My God, I just don't like football, man. Yeah. So annoying.
And now this is where Verts adapts. This is where Isak beds in.
This is where Saka comes back and wins player of the year, bitch.
Salah?
Saka.
Oh, Saka. Yeah. One can hope.
Perchance one can.
Spurs lost as well. Let's go to that game.
Yeah. Shout out my boys, man.
Bournemouth, absolutely trampled them.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, they were a candidate for regressing, and it's, again, three games. But for the... Through the first three games.
I mean, our last thumbnail said Spurs title charge.
I know.
Did funny. We overrate them?
Yeah, probably. But that's just thumbnails probably. In general.
Iraola, since coming in, has a great record against Spurs, actually.
He's a good little manager.
He's a great little
United
manager.
United should go for it.
I can't wait for Chelsea or United to pick him up in a couple of years and absolutely ruin his career.
Probably, yeah.
We will be there. What a performance from Bournemouth. They had so many chances. Semenya with a header.
Yeah, Semenya scored that.
With a couple, yeah.
With the outside the boot cross.
Yes, yeah, that yes. That was.
Wait, I did watch this Max game Brooks. Then. Why am I acting like I didn't?
Oh, well, come on, man.
I did watch this game.
So many chances for Bournemouth, though,
yeah,
right?
There was a lot.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, so, good. I mean, we don't want to overreact to Spurs. They've had a decent start to the year. So, obviously, it's kind of like a bookmark it, see where they are soon, and yeah.
But no. Fuck Spurs, first of all. No, we are going to overreact.
No, you know what? I will be on that train with you. Fuck Spurs.
Yeah, because work out. We signed Javi Simmons. We're going to troll Arsenal. Blah, 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 blah. Look what happened. You had to see your team get fucking clean sheeted and you guys got trampled by Bournemouth. You guys fucking suck always.
Javi Simmons is a really good sign.
Yeah, he's good.
And Colomani they just signed as well.
That's they did, yeah. I mean, Javi Simmons will be great. I guess he'll play. I don't know where he'll play. Will he play?
Well, he'll play in. I assume
the Brennan Johnson.
Even though Papa Matsar has had a great start to the year, I think that will be Javi Simmons' role.
That's
in
what
10.
I'm saying because they haven't really played with a 10.
Well, James Maddison, but he's out. That's why Papa Matsar is starting. He's done well. So
yeah.
But that's why.
But that's also not his role.
It's not his role. He's done really well.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I hope Javi Simmons flops. Obviously. Kind of like most of the signings.
Yeah,
I hope Lamenz is actually decent for you guys.
No, you don't.
I genuinely do.
Really?
I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
He becomes the best keeper in the league. You're going to be happy about that?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
You pushed it a little too far. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
want him to be like a fucking Mark Flecken.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, that's cute.
You would love him. You would love a Mark Flecken.
I mean, I would take him right now.
You kind of
like,
be all right with him. I mean, not after that goal he let in, bro.
Fucking, you know what? He has really good potential to be Mark Flecken. You see Mark Flecken at the weekend? You see what he did for Leverkusen?
Oh, we did, yeah.
Yeah. If the ceiling is Mark Flecken, I'm not satisfied. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair.
So, yeah. I want to be having Raya conversations in a couple of years. You know what I mean? That's the kind of level that we're aiming for. Will we get there? Almost absolutely not. But
yeah. Last thing on Spurs, they're gonna have an attacking problem. They're gonna have a finishing problem, I think.
Attacking problem. I mean, yeah, Richarlison is so hot.
And Javi Simmons, I don't think he's gonna come in and be the best finisher. He's very creative.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's gonna be a best finisher. Same with Kudus, same with Brennan Johnson. Although Brennan Johnson's had a couple of really timely goals in his career.
Yeah, they have Solanke coming off the bench as well.
So I think that's gonna be an issue for them.
It's a question mark. Colomani, you don't know how he'll be.
Yeah.
I don't know how he'll adjust to the Prem. He might be like a weird little loan signing where he doesn't really come in that much and then he goes back. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
But yeah, shout out Bournemouth.
Shout out Bournemouth, man.
Shout out. Oh no, Adam Smith got hurt, bro. It's my boy.
Shout out as well to Crystal Palace, who destroyed Aston Villa at the weekend. I believe it was 3-0. 3-0. Oliver Glasner has a fantastic record against Unai Emery's Villa. Go on.
Perchance I said that they were going to have a good season, even though they lost Eze, lost...
Yeah, well, Conference League hasn't started, so it's kind of like the issues of the scheduling really applied yet. Is Unai Emery under pressure?
I hope so. Did you see the interview that he got?
Oh my God, that was amazing.
You can go. You can go.
Marco Bizzol.
Marco Bizzol.
Like, let's play it out. Is Emi Martinez going to stay at Villa?
Marco Bizzol.
Is he ever going to see the field again for Villa?
Marco Bizzol.
Do you know where Emi Martinez is?
Marco Bizzol. Also, why have they not signed a keeper, dude? Why do they not sign a keeper?
Marco Bizzol.
No,
is the signing.
I thought he's been there for a while.
Olsen was, and they sold him. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen now. So what's going to happen with Emi Martinez? I have no idea.
Oh, they have Sam Proctor.
Who?
I don't really know that name. Yeah, he might be. I mean, look.
There's no updates on.
Villa's just weird because, again, their squad is good. Tielemans, McGinn, Rogers, Watkins, Gaisson, Malin, like Ian Madsen, like their squad is really good. So I think it's a matter of time before they get off and running. But it kind of helps the league when they're good. Like, it makes everyone better. They've been a staple team that's always been
Villa
very solid. Yeah. And I do think that that's not going to change drastically this season, but these first couple of games have been really disappointing. Like, no attacking threat whatsoever. No clinicality from Watkins. He's barely getting any service, it seems like, either.
Their biggest issue, dude, is their transfer window has been horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Yeah. They have massive PSR issues. Their biggest signing is Evan Gassand. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He started in this game. They brought him in from Nice for $30
million. Yeah.
Besides that, you have Yassine Ozkan, and you have Victor Lindelof. And Marco Bizzol, can't forget. And then also announced today, they're bringing Harvey Elliott on loan from Liverpool. That could be decent.
That's low-key huge.
I don't mind him.
Yeah.
But then you look at the outgoings, right? And you have Jacob Ramsey. You have Leon Bailey. You obviously lost Marco Asensio and Marcus Rashford and Axel Di Sassi. Like, these were almost key pieces to the end of last year, right? So it's like, this Villa team's in a really weird, weird spot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, well, I definitely know that the guys that they're bringing in right now do not cover the losses they've had this window.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about it because their team isn't getting any younger and they're not bringing in any new fresh faces to rejuvenate the squad like you would want. So it's worrying. It's worrying. Jacob Ramsey's a big loss. A big loss.
Yeah, him and who's the other guy? I thought they were the same person.
Morgan Rogers?
Yeah, him, Morgan Rogers, and is there another one? There's like one more.
Type of player. What do you mean?
Like
by that?
That attacking mid winger, English, light skin.
Keep talking. I'll check.
But I could be wrong. But wait, Ram. Yeah, Morgan Rogers.
Malin, Tielemans.
No. Okay, there's Morgan Rogers. They lost Jacob Ramsey.
Yes. I don't know.
Maybe it's Morgan Rogers or Jacob Ramsey.
Anyone else, man. Yeah, Ian Madsen, Amadou Onana, Buendia, Morgan Rogers.
Yeah,
Gassant.
It's fine. I don't know. I just
John McGinn.
Oh, well, he's a legend. But I think they'll be fine. I think you're right. I think it will be hard for them to break into the top four again, which I guess is going to be, I don't know, something they have to deal with. But
they have some simple fixtures coming up. So if they struggle here, then alarm bells are ringing for Unai Emery. But even if you sack Unai Emery, I don't see who comes in and does a better job than him.
You got to stick with him.
Yeah.
I think they're prime, we need a keeper in January candidate because, like, I didn't even know this Bizzol guy was. I thought he's been there for a while. And he's 34. Like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah, exactly. In other news, West Ham, big result against Forest. Massive damage to my FPL team. I sold Jared Bowen for Chris Wood.
I had to use on my bench. Wood, so.
Oh, that's. Yeah. Well, I mean, I see the logic, but.
You know what I'm saying?
Football, eh?
It seemed okay.
Just like.
Like, fuck me, dude.
Yeah.
10, 20 points on my bench.
Yeah. Chelsea beat Fulham along with some VAR controversy over there.
Yeah.
I think they would have won anyways, but like it's a rare occasion where PGMOL have like admitted to a mistake.
They were wrong, yeah.
And the VAR, the guy on VAR in this game was supposed to be on the Liverpool-Arsenal game, I believe, and he got taken off.
So,
which is good from them. You can't like that's what you want them to do.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you though. The fact that this VAR was such a big storyline of this game, but I do think they would have won anyway.
Yeah.
So it kind of is getting blown out of proportion. But a mistake is a mistake, and it needs to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
But it's just a fact of the matter.
So Josh King scored 22 minutes into the game for it to be chalked off for VAR. The reason was that Rodrigo Muniz was deemed to have stepped on the foot of Trevor Chalaba in the buildup, but it was a freaking light challenge. Barely even a, I don't even think a foul. Obviously not a foul. Pedro Melo admitted to it. It's just, I hate goals like that, where it's like a petty, you go back to like a minute before and like the buildup in the middle of midfield, and it's like some player dived, so he gets the foul in retrospect. It's annoying. It's always annoying when that happens. But yeah, not much to say. João Pedro making me feel bad for not having him in FPL again. There's a theme here of Julian sucking FPL. We'll get to that when we get to that. But let's go over to Everton, and let's talk about Jack Grealish, dude. Wow.
Sorry, I was...
That was your cue to say something about Jack Grealish, but...
Sorry, I was looking at... Because you know how Josh King is Josh King? There was another Josh King that played for Bournemouth.
Yes.
So I just wanted to, like, see...
The Norwegian one.
Yeah. So yes. I wanted to see, like, I just needed a...
Is it the same guy?
No. One is 34 and one is 18.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so quite different. Yeah, dude. Jack Grealish, man. This is the Villa Jack Grealish... This is the Villa Jack Grealish we were talking about.
Yep.
Because he even said in the interview after the game, he fell out of love with football.
Yeah.
And now he's found it again. And when Jack Grealish loves football, he becomes this creative dribbling mastermind that we saw light up the Villa team. Like, yes. It's just amazing to see. It's amazing to see him just invigorated again.
Yeah.
Because in his prime, he was a joy to watch.
Jack Grealish at Villa was everybody's favorite player.
Yeah.
Because he was a joy to
and
watch.
There are no haters. No haters.
No haters until he went to City for a record fee, right? Yeah. And he got, you know, almost neutered at Man City. And now he's almost unleashed again at Everton. And you could chalk it up to David Moyes, but I think mostly you could chalk it up to his individual, like, feelings as a player.
Hi, David Moyes. Sorry.
The headspace he's in is obvious. Like, it's clear as day that it's so much better. He seems up for football, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is just a loan, but if he wants to, like, stay here permanently with Everton, look, he's won his trophies. He's won a treble.
Yeah.
Like, he's had that chapter of his career. He just wants to enjoy his football, and this is the environment for it.
Is this on Pep?
Well, Pep also has been, like, the most successful Premier League manager in the 4 years that Grealish has been there. Like, so it's like... Sure, has Pep quote unquote ruined Jack Grealish? Maybe
there may be a hint of it.
Maybe, but then you could also like Grealish just also wasn't happy there.
Yeah.
And he also was kind of uncommitted and he did play very badly at moments.
Yeah.
And there was really some bad moments. And he had like a lot of competition for places. So I mean, like, your objective as a manager is to not put the needs of Jack Grealish first. It's to win. And in that sense, you can't blame Pep at all.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent, like, it's, you can argue that Grealish was a flop at City and nobody would knock you for it, really. But he won a treble. I'm sure he's happy. And now he's enjoying his football. If he keeps this up, he could be in the England team for the World Cup.
Yeah. I don't think he'll start, but he'll be in it.
No. He didn't start it in 2021 either. But the craze was you bring him off the bench as like a spark.
Yeah.
He could bring exactly that to England as well.
Man, I need England to win something.
I need Portugal to win something.
Well, I need Canada or Poland to win something. But
yeah, well. Is Lewandowski going to be at the World Cup?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Did they even make it?
Well, not yet. But
yeah.
They probably will be. It's 48 teams.
Fair.
If Kazakhstan can make it, then I'm sure you'll be fine.
You know what? Fair enough.
Knock on wood. His link up, Jack Grealish's link up with Drewsbury Hall. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. What a story for Drewsbury Hall, too. Like, from the Leicester to, like, just random. I don't know, just random. Like, he's just random.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Like, he's just a random English footballer that is never going to leave the Premier League, never going to leave the English systems, but like.
Not really on your radar.
Yeah, but just solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
It's like when Denny Drinkwater went to Chelsea. Like, this is so random, bro.
You know, he's a construction worker now.
Denny Drinkwater?
Yeah.
So actually, I think he is a construction worker, but I think he owns a construction company. I think that's what it is, and he just like loves it.
That's
like
crazy.
It's not like he's doing it to get money. He just like
he's not like
loves
a
it.
Minimum wage.
No. Like he loves.
You can
it.
Make bank. Are you kidding?
Yeah, bro. They make good money, dude.
Yeah. I remember like his fall off in like the under 21s and stuff. I was like, oh, that was sad to see.
Yeah.
But it's almost 10 years on from that Leicester season.
Bro, what?
It's literally been 10 years, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Let's move to Sunderland. Shout out Sunderland.
Shout out Antoine.
Really quick. Yeah. Two late goals to win it against Brentford.
Just limbs, bro.
You'd love to see it. The Stadium of Light is a fortress, dude.
It's just loud. It's just loud. Like, I'm kind of scared for Arsenal to go there. I think teams should definitely not underestimate Sunderland. And shout out me and Antoine for saying that they're going to stay up. They very well may not.
And they're spending even more money now. It gives you more confidence that they will. Let me look it up as you keep
also
talking.
Quickly, Wolves are going down, and it's not even funny. Like, it's... We all said... I think we all had them 20th, and it's going to happen.
I did not have them 20th. I had Burnley 20th. I think we all had Burnley 20th. But we all had them, like, relegated.
Yeah.
We're not relegated. I had the three, but I had them 17th.
Oh, I had Wolves going straight down.
They could bring it back. I don't know. Everton are a really good side, dude. Really good side. Sunderland has brought in Gertruda, the Dutch left back.
Yeah.
Which is a great fucking
signing.
That's
a good signing, yeah.
And they have also brought in Brian Brobby as a replacement for Mark Guehi.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I really like those moves, man. Yeah. I really like
those
moves.
I did put Burnley last.
Yeah. So two games at home for Sunderland, two wins. If you can keep that form up, you're sure to stay up.
Yep. Right? That is 60 points. Nope.
19 times 3.
57.
Good math.
Thank you.
Good math. Okay. Let's move out of the Prem. Did you know the VAR malfunctioned in the Barcelona game?
Well, who did it benefit? Barcelona.
Take a wild guess who it
benefited. Oh my God, bro. This is why you could never catch me being a true fan of a La Liga team. Because if I had to deal... We think it's bad in England, bro. Like, if I had to deal with this bullshit from Real Madrid and Barcelona, I would not be able to speak about any footballing for the rest of my life because it would be so frustrating.
So the entire system was down until 5 minutes before the first half.
Oh, my God.
Bro, and there was a penalty on Lamine Yamal that a lot of people think was soft, and the ref couldn't...
He couldn't check it.
He couldn't check it. The ref couldn't check it with VAR. Bro.
Like...
It's...
Bro, it's corruption, dude. How is that not corruption?
And they ended up drawing 1-1 to Rayo Vallecano. It was not a great performance. And if it wasn't for VAR being down and a generational performance by Yoan Garcia, then Barcelona could have lost this game to Rayo Vallecano.
How's he doing? Is he doing well?
He's doing really well.
Good for
him. He had a great game. They would have lost without him.
I just was watching a lot of comps because of the Arsenal link, so I liked him.
Yeah, I told you. Yeah. Underrated 11.
You did.
But you won't hear about it because you had terrible takes last season. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, that's genuinely ridiculous. And I don't have much else to say. That's just
if that happened in the Prem.
Oh my God.
Somebody's head would be on a stick.
Yeah. And it'd be the refs, but that's crazy.
Another notable moment from that game. Barcelona fans are sick of Rashford already.
Really?
Yeah. Which I hate to see. So in this game, it was the 90th minute against Rayo Vallecano. Barcelona had a 4-on-3. Rashford had it on like the left side, you know, Lamine Yamal on the opposite side of the pitch in acres of space. He can cross it, whatever. He's like 40 yards out and he rips like a shot or some horrible ball over the top that just goes straight into the keeper's hands. And you literally see Lamine Yamal turn over to the bench and like voice displeasure, being like,
what the hell are you doing?
What the hell is wrong with this guy? Yeah. And then, yeah, some Barca fans on Twitter were, like, really losing their patience with Rashford, saying he's, like, a nuisance to this team, that he's, like, a negative, that he's...
It's giving Martinelli.
That he's selfish. It is like Martinelli, but with talent. But still, it's not what you want.
You fucking asshole.
But he's literally through. They have a 4-on-3. It's the 90th minute. You're drawing 1-1 to Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah,
this guy
bad.
Rips a shot from
that's
40
bad.
Yards out.
That's bad.
That's not what you want, dude.
Yeah.
I still think Kubi can be good for Barcelona, but sure. It's been a rough start.
Yeah, that's fair.
The 003 that no one's talking about yet.
Not in the Prem, so.
Oh, we haven't spoken about the other United outgoings. Fuck Alejandro Garnacho.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Garnacho and
fuck
Sancho.
That guy. Fuck that guy. Fuck both those guys.
What, didn't you get like 40 mil for him, though? 45 mil. Pretty good.
40 mil guarantee. I mean, we were linked. He was linked with Napoli in January for 60. Hmm. Yeah. It's. You know who I hate, too? Roberto Garnacho. It's Garnacho's little brother. He was always posting about United, and he was like always like when Ten Hag was like under pressure and like getting in like some little beef with Garnacho.
Okay.
His little brother would be tweeting like some hateful shit to Erik Ten Hag, which sucks. And then he would like leak team news, and he would reply to like these United accounts on Twitter, either like defending his brother or shitting on the manager or shitting on United in general.
Mm.
And now he's like posting, he's like, he was next to like Garnacho for like the signings.
Mm.
Like if you see the picture of like Garnacho signing his contract and holding up a Chelsea jersey, like his little brother is right next to him.
That's crazy.
And he was like posing in like the Chelsea dressing room as if he had signed for Chelsea. It's kind of fucking ridiculous. But anyways.
That's kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie.
Sancho as well off to Villa, which we didn't talk about when we were talking about Villa.
Sancho to Villa. Yes.
Sancho to Villa. So, no, it's not good.
Okay.
This guy.
He'll do good
at Villa. I hate him so much, dude. I hate him so much. We could have sold him for $20 million to Chelsea. But he didn't want to take a pay cut. We could have sold him for $20 million to Roma, and he didn't take a pay cut. And now we're sending him on loan to Villa for a year, covering most of his wages so he doesn't have to take a pay cut. And you're telling me that this guy cares about his football at Villa and he'll be a good signing? Are you kidding me? Jadon Sancho to Villa is terrible. Terrible for him. Terrible for Villa. It screams like desperation from Villa. I think Harvey Elliott is going to be a much better signing for them. Mm. And they're going to learn the hard way that you do not want to have this guy in the dressing room. So good luck to them. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, let's move off the bomb squad. Anthony went as well. That's actually a good deal.
Anthony Jabetis, yeah.
That's good to see as well. We got like a 50% selling clause as well, which is great to see. Okay, moving off that though. Next, we have to go to Real Madrid beating Mallorca 2-1. If you want to push the Barcelona agenda even more, Real Madrid had 2 goals disallowed in this game.
Were they valid?
Yeah, they were.
Fair. That's why I do hate the bigger argument that VAR shouldn't be in football. It does have too much of a say, but like, what sport doesn't have video replay?
Yeah, like,
replay? Probably.
What's that?
Does cricket have video replay? Like, probably.
You're asking the wrong guy for that, bro. The UFC does.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes, but it's not like, you know, front and center.
That's the thing. It gets too much. It is too much.
Like, every, like, half cross shot, like, the ref is not going over to the octagon side to look at the thing.
What if they did it like the American sports and VAR was used as, like, a challenge system?
That's what I think it should be. I'm not mad that VAR is in the game, period. I'm mad with the current way it is used.
Yeah.
How everything is going to VAR.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's like the center point of every single game.
Yeah.
I think it should be up. Like the manager of each team has like 2 challenges, and if it's successful, they get another one.
Or like you get one challenge. Yeah, one challenge, and if it's successful, you get another one.
Yeah.
And if not, then you lose it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So that would actually, like, look at us, man. American sports fans saving the game. Every Brit watching just
Canadian sports fans. Canadian.
North American sports fans. There you go. But, yeah, every Brit watching this has just punched their screen.
Absolutely.
They're like, get that out of my game.
Yeah.
Real Madrid looked pretty decent in this game. They deserved to win. They went 1-0 down at one point.
See, Madrid, not to interrupt you, Madrid and Liverpool are like giving the same team right now, in my opinion.
Madrid has looked better, dude. I'm telling you, Madrid has looked better.
I don't mean play style or how they're playing. I mean, like, they both have the personnel that they should probably win everything.
But it's a...
I'm just saying, I know it's not one on paper. Less so Real Madrid because they had a down season last year.
And it's a new manager.
Yeah.
And lots of question marks.
I'm just saying, if you go on paper. But, like, the Liverpool is set in stone, in my opinion. But Did Rodrigo play?
Rodrigo came off the bench. Played, like, 25 minutes. You know who looked really good in this game?
Mascherano?
Vinny. Vinny looks back to his best.
He's been really good, eh?
He's had a great start to the season. Yeah. Same with Mbappe. Those two look really, really good. They are always going to have attacking moments.
Yeah.
But the biggest question mark is, like, if you're putting them both in the team, will it detriment you against the bigger sides, even if they're playing well?
Is it just going to be two players who don't track back and just try and cherry pick goals? Yeah. I get you.
Another player that looked really good, and you'll love this, was Alvaro Carreras, former United.
Oh, I was like, why would I love that? No.
We're gonna talk about this man one more time. But, bro, in hindsight, bro, the fucking damage Erik ten Hag did to Man United is crazy. Remember 2 years ago, we had a left-back shortage. Luke Shaw was injured.
Yeah.
Malacia was injured. Bro. And we had Sergio Reguilón on the bench ready to play. Mm-hmm. But instead, we signed Sergio Reguilón. We had Aaron Wan-Bissaka playing left-back. We had Sofyan Amrabat playing left-back. Erik ten Hag did everything except playing Alvaro Fernandez or Alvaro Carreras at left-back. Instead, we shipped him off to Benfica for peanuts. That's crazy.
Hope that doesn't happen to Big Chesko.
Yep. And when Erik ten Hag came in, well, very different situation. I don't know what the fuck that. When ten Hag came in, our two keepers were
De Gea. And
our
Dean
two
Henderson?
Keepers were De Gea and Dean Henderson. Yeah. When he left, it was Onana and Bayinder.
Oh, Onana.
Neither keeper wanted to leave, by the way.
What's Onana's Instagram looking like? I want to see. He definitely has a comment. If he has the comments turned off, I'm going to feel really bad.
Okay, let's...
let's see. Oh, they're not! They're on! They're on!
In other news... Arda Güler grabbed a goal as well. I will continue to push that agenda.
Yeah, you are.
Atletico Madrid drew again. The pressure on Simeone continues to build. Moving over to the Bundesliga, Bayern almost choked a 3-0 lead. It ended up being 3-2.
Against?
They still won.
A team.
So, not Werder Bremen. They played Bayer Leverkusen. Was it Stuttgart, maybe?
Augsburg.
Augsburg, yes. That's who it was. Like those... So many teams in the Bundesliga have like a red, black, and white logo. So I get them mixed up.
Goal from
Serge Gnabry scored in this one. Kane
Jakic
scored.
And Comer.
Shout out. Yeah. And then obviously, Ten Hag sacked by Leverkusen already. The third United manager this week to get sacked. They blew a 2-0 lead and a 3-1 lead to Werder Bremen. A 10-man Werder Bremen, by the way, and Ten Hag is a goner already, which, as funny as it can be, way too early.
It seems very premature, and I get it that you explained it earlier on. There's a lot of higher-ups and, managerial and administration issues that go past just what's happening on the pitch and with the players, but... Like, that sucks. And imagine how he feels, man. Like, is this his first job back since?
Yeah.
And he's lasted, what, not even a month?
3 games.
Terrible, dude.
Yeah. Leverkusen as a whole is a dumpster fire right now. I don't even know what to say the problem is. It's just one of those where it's like the whole entire system is, like, in shambles. Moving over to Serie A, Inter Milan lost to Udinese. That's shocking.
They suck.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful goal to win it by Arthur Atta, 22 years old. Low-key, remember the name? Kind of.
Okay.
Maybe. It was a great goal. Took it very well.
Look, Inter is going to be really interesting to see their trajectory because they're so old. Their squad is just so old that, like, I feel bad for their fans because their time to do amazing things was the last couple of years and they fell short in multiple accounts. So it's just... I don't even know what's going to happen with them. Like, it's going to be weird to see where they go from here. I don't know if you agree with that, but...
I do agree with that. Okay. Napoli won at the weekend. Juventus won at the weekend. Roma won at the weekend. And the only other team to be 2-for-2 is Cremonese, Jamie Vardy's new team.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so they just got promoted, and they're 2 wins from 2.
W.
So shout out to them. Juventus grabbed a winner through Dusan Vlahovic. I'm sure my dad was not happy that it was Jonathan David's replacement that ended up winning the game for Juve. And then, like I said, Napoli got another win as well. they ended up being Cagliari 1-0. It was a very Serie A-esque win. It was actually, what's his name? Anguissa that won it in like the final minute.
Zambo.
Yeah. Okay. Also, moving over to Liga now.
Go ahead.
PSG.
Okay. Did they? Oh, yeah. Okay,
6-3 okay. Win. João Neves maybe had the best hat trick of all time.
Dude. What goes on in Ligue 1, bro? Like, genuinely, what goes on in that freaking league? Two bicycle kicks and a screamer? What are we talking about,
dude? I know.
What are we talking about?
This is at least the best hat trick I've seen since maybe Suarez against Norwich all those years ago.
This one's better.
You think so?
I think so. Because
Wow. The
Suarez-Norwich
one. No, the Suarez-Norwich one?
I need to refresh my
thing. I don't think there's a comparison, to be honest. That is like once in a lifetime.
Because that was the one like from really far out. Was like
two
the last one,
from
right?
40 yards out. And then another one he took first time. I think all three were outside the box, dude.
Yeah, because the one, yeah, where he lets it bounce and he goes, bang. Okay, shit. Yeah, no, one of them was a header.
One of them was a header? Okay.
Or no, not a header. Just like a, not a tap-in, but a nice finish. And the other one was, I don't know.
No. The third one was fucking beautiful. Because
the one, he like flicks it around the defender. And he, okay. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, though, like João Neves, man. What a player.
And both bicycle kicks like off the chest. Like he set
disgusting.
Up.
Disgusting. The one that went right in the corner was actually
oh
gross,
my God. I didn't know he had that in his locker.
And I'm just
as
like,
a Benfica myself, I had no idea he had that in his locker.
Genuine crazy level stuff from this guy here. Like yeah. he's, I mean, this PSG team has so much talent and they proved it last year, but the individual skill that is on display in that squad is ridiculous. And that's why they could rest their entire fucking team in game week one, mm-hmm. but they have so much talent. So shout out Antoine, must be a joy to watch for him.
Yeah, so they're up 6-1 at one point against Toulouse. Toulouse eventually brought it to 6-3. Mm. I think Chevalier saved a penalty in this game as well.
Chevalier?
So he's starting to bet in as well. They have Charlie Cresswell is on Toulouse. No, Charlie. Do you fuck with Charlie Cresswell?
Aaron's like brother, perchance?
Maybe, but he's English. Played for Leeds. Mm. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, like, Liga is very weird. Like, I was watching the highlights and, like, PSG is the only team where, like, they'll just skip goals in their highlight packs. It's like, yeah, Ousmane Dembele scored another goal late, so but we're just not going to show
it.
Just
not,
you know
it
what I mean?
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like,
I want them to lose the league simply because it would be...
You want them to lose the league?
Yeah, because why do I want the same team to win the league 7 years
but
in a row?
But do you really care who wins the league?
No, but for the
like,
sporting
I'll be
aspect.
Fine if, like, a Lyon or a Marseille win the league, like... I'll be kind of indifferent if PSG
no,
wins it. I'll
kind of
be indifferent.
No, if Marseille won the league, that'd be good. That'd yeah. be good for this podcast. Imagine Marseille wins the league.
True.
They're not going to.
True. For content reasons. Yeah. For content reasons. But would you like to see Mason Greenwood lift the title? Pluses and minuses.
Fair.
Speaking of Marseille, I want to say a quick point about Lyon.
Did they play Lyon?
Yes, they beat okay. Marseille.
I was like, wait, what a... Speaking of Marseille, I was like, where is the connection there? This is what happens when we talk about Ligue 1. Like, I'm sorry. I've actually been trying to keep up with the other ones, but Ligue 1, dude, like, it's over.
So, Antoine couldn't make it today, but he really harped on that, like, Julian, you need to talk about Lyon. You need to make sure okay. that you, you know, like, carve out a moment to talk okay. about Lyon.
Talk to me about
Lyon. Lyon are back. Okay. Lyon... This is a feel-good story, you know?
Okay.
A year ago, Lyon were almost relegated. They lost one of their brightest stars in Ryan Cherki. They had no striker. Their star striker needs to leave, and nobody expected them to have any sort of true effort in this Ligue 1 season. And now they're 3 wins from 3, and they just beat Marseille. This is beautiful to see for Lyon. I love, like, obviously wasn't as locked in on the game, sure.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of story that you can't ignore.
Yeah.
In my opinion. The story goes that Malik Fofana was going to leave Lyon. Lyon wanted to sell Malik Fofana.
Yeah.
But Malik Fofana, from what I hear, for selfish reasons, didn't really want to leave. He just wanted to stay for his own personal interest.
Okay.
He didn't want to leave. They couldn't get a fee for him. So instead, they had to sell Mikitadze, who they just signed last year. This was his dream club.
Yeah,
like he loves Lyon, but he didn't want to go. The club didn't want to sell him, but they had to, basically. So now he's off to, like, I think, like, back to Lens or something, or, like, off to Turkey, wherever it may be. So there was a great moment in this game where he wasn't playing, but he came out onto the pitch after this game to say bye to the fans, and he was crying and everything, and, like, yeah.
And they beat a rival. That's good.
And they beat a rival as well.
And their squad is quite young, I'm seeing, especially their midfield and their attack.
Which, they didn't have a striker in this game. They played Clorentin Tolisso at striker.
I just saw that. That's crazy. But like their midfield three from Morten Tessman, who I have no idea who he is, and then Adam Karabek, who's low key a career mode legend. Malik Fofana, of course, and then this Kalis Mera, which is definitely a little boy, but the oldest age of them is 23.
Yeah,
and their front three behind the striker are all like 18, 20, no. 18. So yeah, that's exciting.
What Lyon is doing right now is incredible. And you can't help but love to see it.
Fair.
You know? So shout out to the man.
Shout out.
Shout out Antoine for bringing this point up to me. Yeah. I'm glad he did. Shout out João Neves. And let's do a quick little transfer roundup before we do a little FPL roundup and wrap up this pod.
Cool.
All right. Latest news in the transfer window. Wolves are signing a new striker, Aquadari from Genk.
Yep.
I had him on Ultimate Team for a little bit here.
Really?
Good striker. He's decent. Mm. He got a lot of goals last year.
Fair.
Buonanotte is going to Chelsea. How greedy.
What?
Buonanotte is going to Chelsea. What is
what you said after that?
How greedy.
Oh, I heard Calgary. I was like, what the heck? Sorry, I need my ears checked. Benjamin Pavard to Marseille? Sorry. I just tried to be included. I think the brunt of the fancy window stuff is pretty much over. Oh, wait. Zaniolo to Udinese. That one's big, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gigi Donnarumma to City is massive. I mean, like, this whole window has just... like, the deadline day has been fucking crazy. It's been
crazy.
The biggest kind of story going on right now as we record the podcast is whether or not Chelsea is going to lose Nico Jackson. The whole story there is fucking crazy.
Yeah,
he literally went to Bayern. He's in Munich as Liam Delap gets injured. Chelsea say they don't want to let go of Nicholas Jackson anymore. He's refusing to go back to Chelsea, stays in a Munich hotel, still does his medical in the hope that Bayern and Chelsea can work it out, and is basically still insisting that he goes to Bayern. And now Chelsea are signed to thing. Oh my goodness. Did you see?
What?
Here we go again.
That is crazy.
That's funny. I didn't see this from Fab. He posted a here we go again.
W for Fab. Nico Jackson. That's actually good from Fab.
I like that, actually. So it does seem like now that Nico Jackson is going to Bayern, and that's a good little move for them if he works out, if he kind of lands his feet. I think, but the Bundesliga is definitely more suited to like Nico Jackson's play style and ability level. So yeah, Mark Gahey obviously going to Liverpool. Alexander Isak kicked off deadline day by signing to Liverpool as well. I mean, like, this has been a crazy deadline day with all things considered as well. Sending Lamens to United, we've talked about as well. Victor Lindelof to Aston Villa, I don't love that. Kobbie Mainoo wanted to leave on loan, as we've learned in the past week, but United are still rejecting it. Case is pretty much closed there. Still, time recording doesn't seem like we're going to sign a midfielder, which is tragic. Tragic. And that's basically all we're caught up on at 11:30. On Monday morning, here in Toronto.
Yeah.
EST.
I'm trying to figure out how much Simbi Lokonga was loaned for, but there's like no...
Oh, did you see that Fulham are reviving efforts to sign Raheem Sterling?
Sure, go ahead.
Guys. They just love former Arsenal
God,
guys.
God, they suck. He sucks. He's so bad.
After Manchester United proceeding with sending Lamens deal, solutions are being explored for Dibu Martinez. Argentina goalkeeper being discussed with Galatasaray.
I did see that.
In the recent hours.
That would suck for him, but I don't care. He sucks anyway.
But don't you want him in a place where you could hate watching?
I do. That's what I mean. Like, it would, I don't know. I feel like goalkeepers can last so long, obviously. So going to Galatasaray, albeit the biggest team in Turkey, like, does that really move the needle for your career? Absolutely yeah. not.
Oh, I just noticed now that Konrad Harder is going to RB Leipzig. He is the Sporting striker that was supposed to replace Gyökeres.
Oh, I see.
So he's, I think he's like Danish. I don't know where he's
then
from.
Then they got that Suarez.
But he's like, he's been like the young striker behind Gyökeres that was always thought of like the next one up. Mm-hmm. Like once Sporting sold Gyökeres, they would turn to Konrad Harder as like kind of like next in line to lead the line for Sporting. Mm-hmm. But now he's gone to Leipzig.
Interesting.
So I have no idea what Sporting can do now. I guess they'll be in to sign a new striker now.
Yeah.
I love it. I fucking love it. Hmm. And yeah. Johan Vissa to Newcastle. Jadon Sancho to Aston Villa. Alexis Sanchez to Sevilla.
My boy. My boy.
And Luca Bacchio to Benfica.
Interesting.
Yeah, don't know how I think about it. I don't know. Ivanovic is an okay striker. He's been scoring goals for us. Pavlidis is great. Our new right back is like generational. You're going to be hearing that name.
I'm sure I will, Julian. From you only.
No. I was literally on call with Antoine last night, and I literally told him, I'm like, dude, Dedic, you have to fucking list him as a little boy. This guy is going to... to some big club in like a year's time or 2 years'
Amar
time.
Amar Dedic.
He's fucking fantastic, dude. I'm telling you. We just signed him from, was it Shakhtar Donetsk? I don't know. I didn't watch Benfica at the weekend all. I think you'll be happy to know. I just didn't watch much football this weekend anyways. I had to catch up on highlights.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to FBL Roundup and then wrap up the episode here.
Boo.
Well,
FPL Roundup was just bad for us this week.
Oh, look at bad. Me and you floundering down in third and fourth place.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, another edition of FPL Roundup. I was really excited for this segment at the beginning of the season, but 3 weeks later, I hate it.
Yep.
I hate FPL. Yep. It's early days, obviously, but the damn Danso manager is really struggling. The damn Danso manager once again came fourth on the week. That is the second week out of three that he has been last in the 6YB league. His biggest problem is no João Pedro. Really struggling with that. He brought in Chris Wood and Antoine Semenyo, and what you'll see from this roundup is that the transfer in of Chris Wood and Antoine Semenyo was quite the theme here. All four of us brought in Chris Wood and Antoine Semenyo.
Yes, we did.
But the damn Danso manager in particular sold Jared Bowen. Yeah, for tough. Chris Wood, which is tragic. He had Diouf on the bench for a 10-pointer. He didn't have him there. Pedro Porro for 4 points. Sanchez for 6 points. Nico Williams and Konsa blanked. Semenyo blanked. Salah captain blanked. Reinders blanked. Kudus blanked. Ndai with 7 points. That's the highlight. Chris Wood and Ollie Watkins both blanked. 35 points on the week for damn Danso, and the pressure is mounting on him. It's Unai Emery. It's Pep Guardiola. It's Ruben Amorim under the cosh, and it's a damn Danso manager. We really got to pick up form if we're going to make an impact on this league. And we're hoping that over the international break, our players can lock in a little bit.
Okay.
And we could start making some differences.
Okay.
But our team's very similar to the Puffin on Zuby team right above us, who came, I believe, yes, you came third on the week, 41 points. You're not feeling much better, are you?
No, really bad. The worst part of this whole week is I genuinely have 23 points on my bench. A 5 from Petrovic, 8 from Virgil, and 10 from Diouf.
Oh, my God.
So that is, like, that is...
tragic.
That is really bad. I've been going with cells the first 3 weeks, and, like, Petrovic has had 2 really good games, so I might need to switch that in, and then as soon as I do, Sal's going to get a clean sheet.
Oh, you just know it.
Yeah. But the team in general, like João Pedro did for me, Mateta scored for me as well, and Ndiaye, and other than that...
Chris Wood captain. Yeesh.
I know. Chris Wood captain. I was going to do João Pedro, which would have helped me out a little bit, but yeah, it was a tough day for Puffin on Zuby, but all things considered, don't hate the spot I'm at. We go up from here.
It's early days, obviously. Like, I'm not that stressed. I'm in last place. But, you know, it can't go on like this, can it?
It can.
The change name manager is in second place. This is unmarked territory for him. This is the equivalent of, like, you know, Nottingham Forest.
Well, and the only reason why the top place got the top place was because of their captain.
Yeah.
Without that, another generationally bad week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
change name on 46 points. He captain Antoine Semenyo. A couple people taking a punt on their captain this week. Didn't really work out except for one of us. Yeah. But he had Virgil van Dijk in his team for 8 points. He had Sanchez for 6. Van de Ven and Nico Williams blanked for him. Kudus, Verts also blanked. Salah blanked. Semenyo blanked as captain. And Dai and João Pedro got him 16 points combined. Chris Wood blanked. And that's about it for him. 46 points is a decent week for him. The fact he has João Pedro is fucking fantastic for him. Good job, Miles. And the winner of the week, our favorite Sunderland fan, the Frim Ping Pong manager with 48 points. I mean, this guy had Bruno Fernandes captain with 22
goddamn points. That's what I'm saying. And like, honestly, dare I say he got extremely lucky this week.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for the last minute penalty, Bruno
he would have had. He would have been worse
Bruno
than...
Bruno was on a blank.
Yeah, he would have been worse than me, not you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah, I was that bad. Again, it's me not having João Pedro. That's really the difference.
So yeah, with the Bruno penalty, if we do this, did he get player of the game too?
He got two bonus points.
Two bonus points,
and he got defensive contributions.
So
too.
He literally would have minus yellow card.
So he would have been on 6 points if it wasn't for the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Good job, Bruno. I don't fucking know. He also had Diouf on his bench for 10 points. He also had Sarr on his bench for 7 points. So I think even though it's a quote-unquote good week for Frim Ping Pong, it's still a red arrow for him in the overall ranking.
Yeah.
And it's still a week that he's going to be a little bit pissed off about because there
he's
was
already
points left on the board.
A millionth, bro. Like, that's crazy.
I know. And we're like 5 millionth.
I know.
That's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of the 60 Yard Box Podcast. How you feeling, Blake? Good episode?
It was a good episode.
I've liked the vibe of this
it's
one.
Been good. I feel like when it's me and you...
We didn't get in a screaming match.
No,
I really
at
thought
the beginning
we
did a little bit, but no, we locked in. Look,
we did.
Look, at the end of the day, right now I'm watching football, and I just want my team to win. I just want to see my team win once.
Yeah.
And I get very frustrated, and I get very hung up on these games because, one, we talk about them ad nauseum, and two, it's really the best shot I've had to watch my team do something since I've been watching Arsenal.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to stomach these losses sometimes because it's like there's not going to be a better chance.
Yeah.
And we'll be there next year and maybe the year after, but it's like when does that just become nothing? So that's my whole spiel, I guess.
You know what will really bring up your feelings right now?
What?
An international break.
Oh,
we're gonna have to get it fucking creative with the podcast format and our content next week, but I assure you we will.
We'll try.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. If you are listening on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, hit the little notification bell so you never miss another episode of this shithousery. Actually, new feature just dropped on YouTube. There's a hype button that if it's rolled out in your area, you could click. And it's apparently like if you want to support smaller creators, like it's only available to like hype up people with like under 500K subs. So if you think that like somebody deserves more credit than they're getting, you could hype them up and then they get like additional juice
algorithm
in the algorithm.
Juice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
hype us up.
If you're able to, you'll press that little hype button if you're seeing it there for the first time. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know. Is the league wrapped up? Does Liverpool have it in the bag? Will Isak absolutely kill it in the, well, I was going to say in the Prem, but in the Liverpool team? The answer is probably. But let us know what you think. And one last thing before we go. Thank you for listening, everybody. And once again, Andre Onana's for sale.
We out.
Goodbye.